Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast, The New Talk. This is Podcast 401, a little bit of a walk and talk, just around the neighborhood, just right around. Going to go into the soccer field and just walk right around in here and talk about feeling like it's back to school time and re-engaging in the political process these days. And yet, this feeling of just this fine summer, and yet this feeling that I still have that things are going to change and that really what we're looking at here is the end of an era. So we'll talk about that in the Back to School Podcast, the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 401. And of course, this summer has just been full of events, and we're now starting to get to the end of the summer, so we're getting into the good weather, which means that we're going to start seeing the little town events, the state fair, the county fairs, the festivals going on. And these events that I have covered, some of them like Sturgis or WeFest, the state fair, the air show, they let us know that the close of summer is coming fast, and we're going to be entering the mini ice age that is winter in the upper Midwest. And Greg Ryan of Ryan Plumbing and Heating wants you guys to know that if winter is coming, as they say on the TV show Game of Thrones, it is time to have Ryan Plumbing and Heating check your heating system, and here's why. Today, it's all about integrating a smart tech with your heating systems to make them more efficient and thus save you money. And if you haven't had your heating system upgraded in the last 5 years, Ryan can upgrade you and save you cash during the mini ice age that's coming. And I hate to say it, but winter is coming. And even if you don't upgrade your system efficiency-wise, you should have him check it, because if you change filters, things of that nature, you might still save money. And you want to make sure that the heating system works. Here's the deal. Call Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, call 612-927-6488. Metro-wide from St. Paul, and that means the suburbs too. Ryan Plumbing and Heating on University Avenue for four generations, where they've always been, where they will always be. In St. Paul, once again, and also you can call them for emergency service too, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Thanks, Greg, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, it's Sunday night, and it is a night on which we have had a fair amount of rain coming on the heels of a long period of heat, which I love. You can't get it hot enough for me. 90-degree days, and it finally rained tonight, and I thought, well, I'm going to come outside with the recorder, and I'm just going to walk around and talk about stuff and just get a sense and record this night, this fantastic night, and these bugs that are just singing like crazy tonight. And, you know, honestly, I came out here about... Okay, do you hear that buzz? This is really interesting. I don't know if you can hear this buzz or not, but you should be able to hear it. Yeah, there it is. That is the sound of power lines. I'm standing right next to the power lines, and this thing is picking up that low buzz from the power lines. Isn't that cool? So, let me step away from the power lines. Just notice that. Anyway, I was out here. I just started doing the podcast, and I walked out. I've been talking for 25 minutes, and I realized that I hadn't recorded a single word. And it's a good thing I didn't, because it was trash anyway. So, and I do this a lot when I do walk and talks. I record stuff, and I just can't stand what I say, and I start over again, or I just leave it on the cutting room floor, so to speak. But I don't know where I start. It's, you know, oddly enough, I'm reminded of what it felt like. And I think when you reach a certain age, you forget what it felt like right before the summer ended. I don't know if you guys remember, but there seem to be a lot of parallels these days in my life to those summers in the, you know, middle school and junior high, towards the end of the summer. And, you know, you would go summer, as soon as you got out of school, whenever that was, June 6th or 7th or 13th or 14th or whenever they let us out, you know, the world stopped. because summer was on, and it was you and your friends, and it was summer, you know, and that was it. And a lot of summers, I can remember being surprised to sort of look up and realize that it was August 15th or 16th, and we had 3 weeks left of summer. I can remember one summer we spent, and I've talked about this before, we spent the entire summer, it rained and it was cold all summer, and we spent the entire summer playing hearts on our friend's front porch. And somebody said, hey, we only have 2 weeks left of summer. And we were all like, no, we don't. Yeah, and no, we do, because the pool was closed. It was so cold that year. And so this year has been great. This is the year, like those years that you would just play in the sun and go to the pool every day, and you'd be black tan, and you would come down towards the end of August, and your mom would say, hey, time, we got to go buy some clothes for school. And we'd go and we'd get new clothes. And, you know, you'd be kind of excited. I'd get new gym shoes, you know, new shoes to wear. And you'd be kind of excited. I mean, I was excited when I was the first year of freshman year, because obviously it was a big change going to high school and everything. But going back, you'd try the clothes on, and they'd be like, it'd be like cardboard. You'd put those clothes on because you'd spent the entire summer in jeans with holes in them and no shoes, and some rat-eaten T-shirt, whatever. That it didn't matter, because you were gonna just quick ride your bike down to the pool and spend the day at the pool, or spend the day running around or whatever. And the nights we'd sneak out and we'd run around when it was like this, and it was great. And it's so funny, because I have not had shoes on all summer, unless I had to go do something or go somewhere. Had my shoes on, had bought some new work boots, which I'm pretty excited about, some Carolina what do they call those, loggers. And I've been wearing those, but they're actually too hot. So I haven't had my shoes on. I go to yoga or something. I don't even wear shoes. So I haven't had shoes on all summer, pretty much. So it's oddly enough, it feels that way. And so as we head into the last couple of weeks of summer, the state fair is coming up in Minnesota, in Iowa. The state fair there that is on right now, I guess. The weather is going to get to be, in this part of the country, this is going to be the best weather of the whole year. This late August, early September, the humidity starts to leave. I noticed today that trees are starting to change. I hate to say it, but it's true. And so the cues are, for me, it reads as back to school. And I've had a great summer, starting with covering some political events and then sort of breaking off and going to the air show and then to Sturgis and doing some traveling around the country, and now just recently coming back from my friends in north central Wisconsin, which was really great, and just having fun. And so I wanted to do a podcast about sort of re-engaging in the political sphere, and yet at the same time, just going through that reverie, it makes me feel dirty. it makes me feel dirty, and it's a very interesting process going on in my mind, because it isn't so much that it's a love-hate relationship, because I guess it is, but it has this sort of back to school feeling about it. And I don't, you know, going, I remember when the school would finally start and it was still hot, you know, because first week of September is never, you know, you'd still be hot, and you're wearing those new clothes that feel like cardboard. And yeah, there's some exciting stuff. You know, I remember when we first went to high school, we were just amazed at the girls, because they were actually, you know, especially the senior girls were like women. It was like, wow, you know, this is a big change from junior high school. And the smells of the school and everything else that actually, it's funny, because when you go back to your old school, it still smells like that. So you have that experience, and you go, oh, you know, and that's what this reads to me. But that first week of back to school, your brain is mush. You know, you just can't comprehend. And, you know, in the midst of doing all these things, I have continued to monitor and save and look and read and be aware of what's going on. But here's the thing that's interesting, and this is the thing that I wanted to sort of say in this podcast, because I think it's so important, because I know there are people out there that are sitting on the edges of their seats, waiting and watching every single development that happens with Hillary Clinton's emails and Donald Trump's machinations, and whether or not Rubio is going to introduce another plan, or, you know, what's going to happen with the 17, 18 Republican presidential candidates and the six or seven or four or three Democrat presidential candidates, and not a single vote has been cast. I don't even know that that these people even have organizations in all of the states for the primaries. In fact, as far as I know, most of what's going on, and people are finally starting to talk about it in the mainstream media, I'm starting to see people write about it. Most of what's going on is actually in these, most of the action is still in these early primary states, primarily New Hampshire and Iowa, with some exceptions. We have, I don't know that we've even seen a candidate in Minnesota this summer. I don't even know that Wisconsin has seen a candidate besides Scott Walker this summer. I don't know that Montana has seen a candidate this summer. You know, unless the governor, like New Jersey, has seen a candidate, and it's the governor of New Jersey, right? So all this focus and writing and all this, these words filling these containers, whether it's the digital internet media or Fox News or CNN, the websites, the things that I look at, the big newspapers that end up being published online, you know, Yahoo News or whoever you look at, BuzzFeed, whatever. The news just filling the pages, the words that fill these containers, and that's all it is. Nothing new. Nothing really earth-shattering. Nothing that I see that reads as a significant change from what was happening at the beginning of the summer. There, you know, there's obviously there's news, but actually, the thing that I was going to say is that a great deal of effort is being spent telling you what's going to happen. And it's almost like these people, you know, they'll have a paragraph that says, you know, candidate A spoke to a group of people at a gathering in state yesterday. And then here's what the candidate said. And then, you know, four or five paragraphs about what's going to happen and what it means to this person's campaign, to somebody else's campaign, to this problem or that problem, and a lot of effort spent telling you what's going to happen. You know, what's going to happen to Hillary Clinton if they don't figure out this email thing? What's going to happen with Bernie Sanders if he doesn't figure out Black Lives Matter? What's going to happen with, and they don't even ask the question. They just tell you that this is going to scuttle somebody's campaign, or that because it isn't enough to just tell people the who, what, where, why, and when, because you have to go further than that now, further, whatever. You have to tell people what it means, and you have to give it your meaning, and you have to make sure that that you tell people what's going to happen. And the thing is, and this is what I said in the Black Swan podcast, you don't know what's going to happen. You can't possibly predict the future. And there's so much effort spent predicting the future. So for those of you who have been fully engaged with this stuff all summer long, and they've been telling you what's going to happen, you're going to end up disregarding virtually all that. 99% of what is going on out there is going to be, you know, discarded at the end of the day. So then what? So back to school. Is it? Do things get started again? Do as we reengage? Do you know? As I reengage, does this mean that things start moving again? And this is why I feel dirty, because when I reengage, I don't find anything for me that has any traction. You know, what has traction for me is this sound out here. What has traction for me is watching people in this country doing things that have nothing to do with the political tribes and just doing what they do and having fun and riding their motorcycles or flying their planes or going to these little fests and things of that nature. I'm not finding much traction in the political field, and it isn't because there's a lot of there isn't a lot of stuff going on. There's plenty of stuff going on. There's plenty of stuff to talk about, but I just don't think it's any of it has any value or salience for the average person going forward. And you ask yourself, you say to yourself, well, you know, there have to be. I said to myself today, I said, self? No, I was looking through all the news, and I said, there have to be other things going on. There has to be other news. And we're just not seeing it because it's just we're being deluged with all of this nonsense about somebody's appearance on Meet the Press, which nobody watches anyway. I mean, you know, these shows, they're not, people aren't, don't watch these shows. They're just they get a lot of media attention after the fact. It's not like people get up at 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever it is when Meet the Press comes on Sunday. To me, it feels like 6 o'clock in the morning. When is it on? Like 10 or something like that? I don't even know. And somebody goes on there and they say, I mean, as you're watching those things, are you getting anything out of that? Is that, I mean, are you actually, I'd love to know whether people are actually watching this stuff, you know? And I just, what I hear is the same old thing. And when I, here's the deal, and I'll tell you, this is the deal that I make with you. When I hear something that isn't the same old thing anymore, then I will say, now that's something to take a look at. I believe that we are, and I've said this before, but I think it's really becoming clear that we're at the end of a political era. I think we're at the end of a sociological era in this country. And it isn't the end of the Obama administration, you know, a time where we'll look back and say, well, that was the Obama era. I mean, they will. Just like they'll say Bush era. It was a Bush era piece of legislation. They'll say that about Obama. They'll say, well, this was an Obama era piece of legislation, or this happened during the Obama era. I'm not talking about that. Things just have this weird finality to them. I have this sense that we are kind of just floating along. And I'm looking at everything, and I did a podcast about it, Levy Trump and whatever it was. I forget which podcast number it was. And I don't, you know, you'll figure it out. But it just, it feels like they just keep reporting the same thing over and over and over again. And it's almost as though I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. I mean, part of it is experience, because I know the other shoe will drop. I know there will be another major story, and it won't, you know, and we will remember that major story and forget everything that happened before then. Everything that's going on right now politically, everything that's going on in the world, that's just where we're kind of just floating along and nothing is getting, nothing feels like it's moving forward to me. That's all going to change. And I don't know when, and I don't know what. And I did a podcast about black swans, some of which were actually prescient, particularly as it pertains to China. But I don't know when that other shoe drops and when those things change, you know. And as we sort of head back into the late summer, early fall, that sort of back to school period, you know, I'm working on other stuff. I'm working on some new developments for the BobDavisPodcast.com, which I'll be telling you about very soon, which I'm really excited about. And there's going to be a big push associated with it from my perspective, and some podcasts about it that I'm really, really, really excited about. I'm not going to tell you what they are. So there's that. So that's my back to school, and some business things that I'm working on that are my back to school. So then my whole thing is to redouble those efforts and start working on that and figuring out where I want to take the mobile podcast command unit next and things like that. So that's my back to school, where I sort of, that's when I put the hard shoes on and the new pants and the new shirt and sit there and start figuring out what I have to do. But the news, and it isn't that I've disengaged from the news. I continue to scan and watch and think and read and look, but I'm not seeing anything that I want to go, that's it. That's what I want to talk about. That is significant. And I just want everybody to know that when I see that, I will. But all this stuff is going on, that's going on, that's being reported on, just feels like patter. It feels like patter. And the thing that's really cool about podcasting is that if I have nothing to say, I don't have to do a podcast. You know, if I were still on the radio, if I was still doing a daily radio show, I would have to fill those airwaves with something. And they won't let you, you know, go to Sturgis. They won't let you go to the air show. They won't let you fill it with a conversation with an old friend, because you have to stay on that. You have to stay on that echo chamber. You have to stay in that echo chamber. And the thing that I'm trying to do, the thing that I'm trying to get across to people, is to empower you to break out of that echo chamber, to turn that off. And I'm not saying that I'm going to be the one that's going to tell you when something significant happens, but right now they want us in that. They want us to follow the bouncing ball. That's what I've started to call it. And everybody in media does it. I read something the other day that some guy was talking about slowing time down. This is fascinating to me, the concept of slowing time down by breathing. And I've often wondered whether you can actually do that. I will tell you a funny story that I remember. I was in Chicago and I was on my way to Midway on the train. And I had been doing a lot of yoga, and I remember feeling, I was late, and I thought, I'm going to miss this plane. There's no way I'm going to meet, there's no way I'm going to catch this plane. And I was concentrating so hard on that, I felt like I slowed time down. I just had that feeling, probably an illusion. And I think what it was is we were in the tunnel on the red line. And so what I used to have to do is take the red line from the north side to the orange and then take the orange to Midway. And, you know, once you were on the train, it was going to go as fast as it was going to go. And there's nothing you could do about it. But we went through this tunnel and I had this feeling that I slowed things down, where things seemed to be moving in slow motion. It was really weird. So I'm running across this article where this guy talks about that, and I was like, wow. And it was some guy who is a speed skating champion did a TED talk on this concept of slowing time down, and he said it's breathing and it's thinking like a child, where everything is a brand new experience, where as you are pushing one leg out and picking the other one up and doing what you do, you are so conscious of everything that you do that time literally stops, because you're looking at every blade of grass, you're looking at every you're looking at the sort of the texture of the blacktop road, or you're looking at the trees in your neighborhood, or you're so concentrated on details and seeing details like a child sees details that you don't have a sense that time has passed, right? Because you're breathing, you're living, you're experiencing life, and time has stopped. Now, I don't even know what I was talking about before I launched into that whole thing, but yeah, I've been reading this article about this concept of slowing time down. And it feels like that right now. It feels like we should not be paying attention to what is being spewed out day to day to day, because they're filling up this container. They have an hour to fill. They have pages to fill. They have unlimited space online that they have to fill with clicks, and they have to change things, and they have to do things to force people to click and draw people's eyes and interest. And they wouldn't let you just do a half an hour of dead air, you know? They wouldn't let you say, listen to these bugs. You know, they wouldn't let you do those things, because you have to follow the bouncing ball when you're in media today. And the pressure is intense to follow the bouncing ball. That's what everybody wants to do. And if they're not chit-chatting about politics as sports, they're talking about sports, right? And what I'm trying to do is empower people to say, I don't need that. You know, now that doesn't mean that you disconnect completely and you don't know anything, but there are other things to read. There's, you know, there's actual history to read. Go find a book on Rome, you know, go find a book on American history and just read it. Go find a book on something else, anything else, and read it. One of the greatest times that I've had this summer is standing out here in the field, actually sitting out here in the field during the day in the sun and taking an hour and just reading. And not reading news. And I think that's really important. And I'm not saying I'll tell you when to pay attention, because we have to have the framework to be able to pay attention when the time comes to pay attention. But I'm just saying my sense, and I guess I, in my own way, I'm kind of trying to predict the future. But I want to qualify this, because I'm not predicting the future. What I'm saying is, in my experience, these dead stick times, it feels like dead stick, or it feels like the doldrums when the boat is out on the water and there's no wind in the sails. It just feels like it's just dead stick. You're just sitting there. My experience has been a wind will come. Something will happen that will take us in a new direction. Something will happen that will signal the beginning of a new era. And I guess to qualify that, I would just say that, you know, if you think back to 2000, which really wasn't that long ago, 15 years ago, it's hard to believe that 2000 was 15 years ago, but it was. So if you think back to 2000, think back to the phones, think back to the communication system, think back to the cars, think back to a lot of what went on, and compare it to what we have today and what's possible. Then you start thinking about, well, you know, on top of all the things that were just sort of glimmers in some designer's eye in 2000, or 1996 or something, that have now become reality, given the fact that our economy is moving as slow as it is, and that venture capital really hasn't been pouring into new ventures. It's been reinvested in the markets and stuff. You know, when this new era starts, this formation, this technology formation and everything else that's been going on is just below the surface. It's kind of forming a crust. And that's kind of the best way for me to explain it. And I hope I don't sound crazy. I probably am. But I just have the distinct impression that we're just kind of floating, and that we're just waiting. We're just kind of enjoying the last few minutes or hours or days or years or months of this era that we have just lived through. Some people will be happy to say goodbye to it. But then again, we don't know what the next era holds for us, so it's kind of hard to say what will happen. And I don't want to be one of those soothsayers. The thing about all this media telling us what's going to happen and whether or not Hillary Clinton's going to get the nomination, and then what's she going to do when she becomes president? Same with Donald Trump or Scott Walker or any of these other people. But really, right now, it's Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump with a little Bernie Sanders thrown in. It's kind of a Trump-Clinton stew with some Sanders seasoning. And that's what we got going right now in the political world. And again, all focused on New Hampshire and Iowa. Nobody has cast a single dang vote, and who knows what's going to happen. But they're going to tell us what her presidency is going to be like, and they're going to tell us what Donald Trump's presidency is going to be like, and they're going to tell us what's going to happen in November of 2016, and we don't have any idea what kinds of influences are going to take place in the rest of the world to impinge on that cute little story about so-and-so and her presidency, or so-and-so and his presidency, or this party or that party. We just don't know. And I have a distinct feeling that something is going to happen. And I wouldn't say it's palpable right now, but I just, as I said before, and I don't want to keep repeating it, but I will, it's an experience of doing this every day. And coming down to sort of seeing that sameness. I don't think there's anything unique about this political campaign so far. I don't think there's anything worth talking about. Lots of people have been talking about Donald Trump, and I think, I look at that and I just, you know, there's too many things that have to play out yet. And if he is the candidate, so be it, you know, great. But, I look at that and I just don't find anything interesting about that. I went to two political events, and when you see it from the inside, as my friend Steve said, maybe you've just seen the show too many times. I think that's good, though, because then you know. But when you see it from the inside and you see these things, these events, and you see the supporters for what they are, you realize, is this real? That's the thing that I asked myself in Davenport and Waukesha when I covered two quote-unquote major political events, and that was the Scott Walker stuff. And I chose those because, you know, they were close and because he's a fairly well-known individual. Not because I support him or not support him or anything else. I just wanted to cover a couple of political events, and I thought to myself, is this real? And I think about that every time I read a story about Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or, you know, Rubio or what Chris Christie says or what somebody says when they get on one of these shows, because what they're doing is they're doing this stuff to get on TV. Look at Donald Trump. He said some stuff, and now he's been on national television since that debate every day for 2 weeks now. He's been on national television, and it's been all about him. And it's all about getting on television. But is it real? And that's the thing that's interesting. And I believe reality will eventually impinge on our little dream world that we're in the middle of right now. I think reality eventually is going to come. And then you'll see almost like a thunderclap and you'll go, I will go, and maybe you'll agree, there it is. This is the beginning of the new era. Now things are going to change. And I don't know what that's going to be. I don't know when it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to happen now or it's going to happen in 2017. I did a podcast about potential black swan events. I couldn't possibly tell you what it's going to be, but I just have that distinct impression. And as I re-engage, it's re-engaging with that template, sort of looking for something new and different, looking for something else instead of what we've been seeing. Meanwhile, we do have a few extra weeks of what has turned out to be a fabulous summer. So thanks for listening to podcast 401, the Bob Davis podcast, The New Talk. You know, it's weird. When the bugs are singing like this, you really don't notice it, you know, but I have this summer, and you really notice it when they go away in late September, after the first freeze, and it goes away, and then suddenly it's just really quiet, and you don't realize how loud this is. So it's been great to just stand out here and enjoy this. And now I'm just going to walk back up to the deck real quick here, because I need to tell you about the sponsors of the Bob Davis podcast, and I can't do that unless I'm by the torches, the tiki torches. So let me just get back up here so I can let you know what's going on and let you know by torchlight. I will tell you, I am going to have an announcement regarding the BobDavisPodcasts.com. It involves the website. People have been making some suggestions, and this is something that I'm going to do that I've wanted to do for a long time. And I'm actually... I feel real expectant about it, a little nervous about it, but I'm really excited about doing it, and I'll tell you about that maybe even in the next podcast. We'll see, but I want to let everybody know that we're going to do that. This podcast, of course, sponsored by Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Don't forget to have your heating system checked, and the main reason is that they can do things to your heating system to make it more efficient and save you a lot of money. And if you haven't updated your heating system in a while, it's really something you should check out, especially if you're, let's say if you have a rental home and you're paying for the heat. I don't know why you would be, but if you are, this is a key reason. Call Ryan Plumbing and Heating and have them check your heating system. Even if you don't upgrade, they can do things to help you improve your efficiency. 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Ryan Plumbing and Heating, metro-wide from St. Paul. That means the suburbs, too. So we're talking Plymouth. We're talking, I always mention, instead of Mendota, let's mention Invergrove and Maple Grove and all over the metro. So give Ryan a call, especially for emergency service as well. And I want to thank the digital sponsor of the BobDavisPodcast.com. The banners are up for Alpha Systems. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. The bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. They started the AOA revolution. Click on the Alpha Systems banner for more information that is all about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for being a digital sponsor. And I want to thank you guys for listening on iTunes, Stitcher.com, or TuneIn and blogtalkradio.com. Thanks for liking, sharing, and favoriting. I am BDavis7843 on Instagram. Got a lot of new Instagram people from Sturgis, and that is always cool to see. So check me out on Instagram, which, by the way, is bigger than Twitter these days, which I love, because you can't snark out on Instagram. It's just a picture, and I love that. And thanks for your donations as well at thebobdavispodcast.com. That your donation goes right into funding the mobile podcast command unit. So when I need to buy diesel fuel, unless I've got somebody with me that wants to buy the diesel fuel, that's what that's for. And I really, really appreciate the donations. And, you know, that we'll be heading out again soon, but I don't know where. So I'm probably going to hang out here for a while and do some business stuff. And then we'll reengage, as I've been talking about, politically. So anyway, thanks for listening to podcast 401, the Bob Davis Podcast, getting you ready, just beginning to sort of build the beachhead for back to school. It's coming. Thanks for listening to podcast 401, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Bye-bye.
Autumn in New York. Why does it seem so inviting? Autumn in New York. It spells the thrill of first nighting. Glittering crowds and shimmering clouds and canyons of steel. They're making me feel I'm home. It's autumn in New York.